Welcome to Yo Downtown. My name is Darren. One of the key ingredients to evolving one's own consciousness and the consciousness, human consciousness itself, is to do something that's never been done. And Geshe Michael Roach did just that when he became the first Geshe from North America to become a Geshe. And I was contemplating this, and I believe that in doing so, he gave a special kind of access to the teachings, the living teachings of Buddhism, in a way that was maybe not accessible to all of us before. Not only to individuals and spiritual schools, but also businesses via The Diamond Cutter, which is a book that businesses all over the world have used to enhance their business using Buddhist principles. And so there's really hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of people, thanks to Geshe Michael Roach becoming a Geshe, who have been blessed. Maybe it's just, they don't know, which is beautiful. It's mainly, I would think, anonymous. So they walk into a store, walk into a business, and they're treated in a certain special way, and they don't realize that that's really from his blessing. And so to have someone who has the capacity to evolve consciousness itself in this world, here in the room with us, in this small space, is a rare privilege and honor. And it's one of the key reasons I begged Mira to invite Geshe Michael to speak here, because I knew in doing so, it would make for so many possibilities and potentials that would otherwise never exist for Yoga Oasis. And it'll allow all of us to serve each and every person that comes through this space for years to come in ways we couldn't otherwise. And again, someone who can evolve all of us, you can be sure that by being here tonight, you will receive a major transmission and many, many shifts will come. Please offer a warm and sweet welcome to Geshe Michael Roach.
You know, whenever my teachers, David and Sharon, right? David Life, Sharon Gannon, when they first taught me yoga, they said, you know, you travel a lot, and everywhere you go, take a class. Any city in the world where you go, take a class, and you'll learn something new, you know? So every time, when I first got to Tucson, I went to every studio in Tucson, you know? And it was pretty frustrating. Like, some of them had a sign on the door, no yoga today, and some of them were pretty weird. But anyway, I ended up at Yoga Oasis, and I don't go anywhere else anymore. Except sometimes to the other one. But anyway, I think then Mira asked me, so when I personally want to do yoga in Tucson, I go to Yoga Oasis, mostly. Mira asked me, could you help? You know, we're just opening a new studio downtown. And she told me the idea of the studio, which was we decided to put a studio right in the middle of the downtown, which is, I was here recently. We recorded an album two blocks down recently. And I was struck by how depressed the place was and how sad the place was. And I also read some articles about this area and how the police were all on the take, and the chief of police himself was arrested, and it just seemed very sad, the whole area. Then she said, well, we're opening a yoga studio there, and we're going to charge $4 a class, you know? And I thought that was so beautiful. It was so brave to go into the... It's something that I think is... I would like to try maybe in Phoenix, but it's something where you go into a place where people are sort of down... their health is down, they're eating poorly, they're not too happy, The economy's down. It's dangerous to walk around. You know, it just feels weird here at night, right? And then to open a studio there and bring some hope to people and then charge $4 for a yoga class, it's just a brilliant sweep against the forces of sadness and, you know, downness. So I just really, really think it's a beautiful and courageous thing to do. And I think we should all support this studio as much as we can by coming here. And I'll certainly come and take classes here. And I really enjoy the yoga, the Anusara. Darren's inspired, John Friend inspired yoga. I think it's the sweetest yoga you can do anywhere right now. Just the whole approach. And I had the honor to take a brief class from John Friend in Hong Kong. And it was really, really amazing. He's a really amazing person, a really good person. And I'm struck by how much Darren follows his teacher. And we say that the whole basis of success in these things is how well you follow your teacher. And every other sentence is about his teacher. So I'm just really happy to be here, and I'd like to thank them for opening this studio. Yes. Whoever's in charge of the air, you have to keep it, try to keep it 68 in the room, okay? Then we can coexist, but, okay. After that, people get cranky. Okay, we're going to do a song. We're going to do one song now, and then we thought to do another song halfway through the program when you're half asleep. So we have a plan like that. The first song is not a kirtan, so it's not a call and response. We'd like you to just sing it with us, okay? And the words are up on the wall, so you have to learn them now so you don't have to break your neck while we're playing. Sada Shiva, Shiva means all the time Shiva. Bhaja Mana means my heart overflows with devotion for you. Nisa Dina means day and night. So Sada Shiva. Oh, by the way, Shiva just means, you know, you think of this big guy with a trident, you know? But what Shiva means is peace, right? Shankara. Makes peace and brings peace to your heart. So, you know, if you're doing good yoga and if you're getting along with other people and if your asana practice makes you a kinder person, you are, that's Shiva. Okay, that's real Shiva. Not some guy with a trident running around destroying the world or something, okay? Shiva means the person of peace, the god of peace, and brings peace to your heart. Makes you a nice person, okay? That's Shiva. So when you say Sada Shiva, just think, may I always be a nice person, okay? Just a regular old nice person. You don't have to be a mystic or anything, okay? Sada Shiva, Bhaja Mana Nisa Dina. Riddhi Siddhi means give me all my goals, which normally means, you know, a good job, a nice relationship, a healthy body, and that I don't die in this life, that I go straight to paradise. Dayaka means please give me. Binata Sahayaka, be with me forever. Then careful on the na, okay? It's supposed to be na-a-ha-ka. Let's practice.
Na-a-ha-ka.
Okay, don't say na-ha-ka and you'll get in front of us. Then say patakata purita anavarata. I don't know what this means. Let me see. Never a moment leave my heart. Okay? Something like that. Okay? So let's try and sing it. Yeah, Mercy's going to teach you line by line. Then we'll do the whole song, maybe like three verses singing together, and then Geshe Michael does an instrumental and the drum players go wild. And then we do two more verses and then we'll stop suddenly. Okay.
So we'll just get used to the song before everybody comes in and it just kind of gets taken away. So. Sapta Shiva Maja Mana.
Sapta Shiva.
Thank you.
quiet. Then it comes back again with
Sapta Shiva Bhajana.
Riddhi Siddhi Dahi Naka Vinata Sahayaka.
Riddhi Siddhi Dahayaka Vinata Sahayaka.
Aha Kabata Kata Pirata Navarata.
Oh,
Okay, did everybody get a piece of paper? If you did not get a piece of paper that says Kala Chakra Yoga on it, please raise your hand. Ooh. Where's my piece of paper, Gimrara? You ran out? Okay, I'm sorry. We didn't expect this many people, okay? So share. Okay? If you're a Diamond Mountain, I think maybe you just give it away. Okay? You guys, you can't, no place to sit down right there? Okay, you know that Dharma Mitra thing, how he fits people in the yoga class? Everybody move up 6 inches. If you can. In the front, you can move up straight to the stage. Because there's people in the back, you can't stand up for this whole thing. Okay? We're gonna do that. What's that thing where they jump off the stage? Yeah, okay. You got room now, Earl? You got room now? Okay. Alright, so we're gonna talk about a special kind of yoga. Wait, you have to be very quiet. And you won't get it. Okay, we're going to talk about a special kind of yoga called Kala Chakra. Yoga say Kala?
Kala.
Chakra.
Chakra.
Kala?
Kala.
Chakra.
Chakra.
So Kala Chakra, I guess a lot of you know, it's a special teaching that by tradition only the Dalai Lama can give you permission to study the whole Kala Chakra. So the Dalai Lama normally, the first 13 Dalai Lamas, they only get it once or twice in their lifetime. They only gave that permission to groups of people once or twice in their lifetime. Then in this, since the invention of the airplane, the present Dalai Lama, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, has been able to travel to different countries and give it. So I've had the honor to take it twice. And I think Darcy told me 30 times or something. He's given it in 30 countries or something. So Kala Chakra is a special kind of teaching. And deep within the Kala Chakra is a very beautiful teaching on yoga. Okay, and I thought it would be good for people to understand what's happening to you when you do your asanas. Okay, so inside the Kala Chakra teachings, which are several thousand years old, okay, inside there is a beautiful teaching on what's happening to you and your body when you do your yoga and why you should do yoga. Why you should do yoga every day at Yoga Oasis, okay? At $4 a day, how can you miss out? Okay. So we're going to start from a very early source for the ideas in the Kala Chakra, which is the Yoga Sutra, okay? So Yoga Sutra, you know, is by Master Patanjali. And you can see him, there's a picture of him there. He was believed to be an incarnation of Adishesha, which is the divine being in the form of a serpent. So you can see him sitting on a coiled serpent, which represents the kundalini, or the chandali, or dumo, deep inside your belly, okay? So he's sitting on that. He lived, different people think different things. Judging from the composition of the Sanskrit, I would say he lived about 18 centuries ago, okay? And he wrote the first great book, if you don't count the Gita and other similar books, devoted to yoga, okay, called the Yoga Sutra. In the Yoga Sutra, there's only 2 or 3 lines devoted to asana, okay? The rest of the Yoga Sutra is all about what's happening with your inner body and things like that, okay? So he doesn't actually give you any poses in the Yoga Sutra. There's no yoga in the Yoga Sutra, okay? That comes later in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika and the Gerhan Sanhita and text like that. So he has 3 beautiful ideas in the Yoga Sutra, which we're going to have to understand to do Kala Chakra Yoga. Okay, so I'm going to read the first one to you. Let's do Kirtan. Okay, say Bhuvana,
Bhuvana,
Jnanam,
Jnanam,
Surye,
Surye,
Sanyama,
Sanyama,
Bhuvana,
Bhuvana,
Jnanam,
Jnanam,
Surye,
Surye,
Sanyama,
Sanyama.
Bhuvana means the earth, okay? Bhuvana means the earth. By the way, why are there blank lines and why were you given a pen when you came in? Okay, this is Buddhist logic. There are blank lines. You have a pen. Do some yoga with the pen and the blank lines. Okay. So Bhuvana means the earth. Jnana means to know. Okay. Jnana. That's why English, by the way, has K-N-O-W. The K-N comes from Sanskrit J-N. Okay. And in Russian, it's Jnaya. Same thing. Okay. So in many languages, you can see the old Sanskrit. Okay. So Jnana means knowledge. Knowledge of the earth. If you understand the earth, okay? Bhuvana Jnana means if you understand the earth, okay? Then it says, I'm sorry, you will understand the earth. Surya means, what's Surya Namaskar?
Sun.
Yeah, sun salutation. So Surya means sun. It comes from an old word, helios, which came into Greek as helios, right? And meaning the sun, helium, like that, okay? They're related. Sakvel is the old Indo-European, okay? So it covers Surya and it covers Helios, okay, both. So Surya means the sun, in the sun. Sayamat means a special kind of like meditational understanding, okay? It involves meditation, concentration, and analysis. So if you know the sun, you will understand the earth, okay? If you know the sun, you will understand the earth. Bhuvanas Jnanam Surya Sanyamat. Okay? Mat means from knowing. Okay? The At. So if you understand the sun, you will understand the earth. Let's go to the next one and then I'll tell you what the heck it means. Okay? Let's do the next one. Ready? Please repeat. Chandre.
Chandre.
Tara.
Tara.
Vyuha.
Vyuha.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Chandre.
Chandre.
Tara.
Tara.
Vyuha.
Vyuha.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Okay, so Tara. Chandre means the moon, right? The moon. We have a monk named Chandra. He's here somewhere. Yeah. Okay. Chandra means moon. Tara in this case means the stars. Okay, the stars. Vyuha means the configuration or the, you could say configuration or the, what do you call it? Sort of, but the arrangement of the stars. Okay. Tara Vyuha means the arrangement of the stars. And then Jnana means you will understand. So if you understand the moon, you will understand the arrangement of the stars. Okay? It doesn't mean much yet. That's okay. That's more interesting. Right? Okay, last one. Dhruve.
Dhruve.
Gati.
Gati.
Jnana.
Dhruve.
Dhruve. Gati. Jnana. Dhruva means the pole star, the north star. So all the constellations revolve around the Dhruva. So Dhruva was perceived in ancient times as a pole that came to the earth. And then, you know, the sky was rotating on this pole. So that was called Dhruva, okay? Tad means that. Gati means the running or the coursing of the stars. The coursing, okay? The running. As Jnana means you will know, you will understand. Okay, so these are three lines from the Yoga Sutra, which are very important to understand if you're going to understand why you're doing yoga asanas. Okay, so what I would like, you know, if I had 1 or 2 hours with somebody that I might not meet again for a while, I would like them to understand what's going on in their body. Why should you do yoga? You want something to happen in your body. Okay? You want something to. You want it to trigger some kind of reaction in your body, okay? So, when you say you will know the earth is, I should start with sun, okay? Surya. Surya in this case means the sun channel in your body, okay? So there's a central channel that starts here at the third eye, goes under your skull, passes under your skull. It's about as thick as a pencil, okay? It's made of light. If you cut somebody else open, you won't find it, okay? But it's physical. It is physical. There's a channel that starts here and goes under the skull, down the back of the skull, exits the bottom of the skull, follows the inside of the spine, down to your tailbone, into your groin, and then terminates at your sexual organ, whether you're a boy or a girl, okay? And that's the central channel, okay? On the right side of this channel, That channel is colored like fire. It looks like candlelight or firelight. Okay, campfire. It's a it's translucent and it's burning, okay? And then on the right, starting here, okay? Right about here. Next, on the side of your nose is the sun channel, okay? Surya, all right? It's a brick red. It's not this translucent, beautiful color. It's a bummer channel, okay? It's a bad channel, okay? And Surya starts here. That's, by the way, why you have a nostril there. The nostril formed around the channel, okay? Then it comes up, follows the septal channel, which is called Sushumna in the Sanskrit text, or Madhyapatya, or anything else, Avaduti, okay? There are about 16 names for it. But it follows the septal channel down the right side of your body, just off, almost touching the middle channel. So very close, a little bit thinner, maybe like a McDonald's drinking straw, as opposed to a thick pen, okay? And it follows the central channel, goes down the back, follows the same place, terminates at your sexual organ, okay? That's the sun channel. Over here, there's a what? A moon channel, okay? It's a milky white, which is why in Sanskrit it's called Ida, which means sheep, or it can mean milky white, like, what do you call it? Idli, dosa, in India. Meaning coconut cream, okay? So it starts here, which is why you have a left-hand nostril, and it follows the central channel also under the skull, almost a touching, just barely, some people say touching, okay? So inside these channels flows what? Prana, okay? Called in Tibetan, lung, say lung.
Lung.
Lung. Okay, in Sanskrit? Prana. In Chinese?
Chi.
Chi. Okay. In Japanese?
Ki.
Ki. Okay? All the same thing. All right? There's an energy flowing through those channels. Okay? The thing you have to know is this. Okay? Very, very important. Say lung. Sen.
Sen.
Jukpa.
Jukpa.
Chikpa.
Chikpa.
Lung.
Lung.
Sen.
Sen.
Jukpa.
Jukpa.
Chikpa.
Chikpa.
When we study this in the monastery, I mean, we have to memorize this whole... This is a big mantra for the study of the inner body. Okay, lung means chi, means prana. Okay, lung means prana. Sen means chitta, your mind. Okay, your inner winds, which are physical. Okay, they are subtle physical form like light, but they are physical. And then the mind, which is not physical. Okay, but jukpa chipa means they ride in tandem. They always ride in tandem. Say ta,
dang.
Tapa
shin.
Tadang. Tapa shin. Like a horse and a horse rider. Okay? Like a horse and a horse rider. The prana moves and the wind, the thoughts ride upon the prana like a horse rider. Okay? If the prana is unruly, marut. Okay? If the winds are unruly, what happens to the mind? You feel upset, okay? If the winds are not flowing smoothly, because lung sem jupa chipa, because they are like a rider and a horse, if the prana is going nuts, then you feel uncomfortable. You feel anxiety, you feel upset, you feel irritated, jealous, angry, etc., okay? If the prana is not flowing smoothly, because that's that magical interface where body and mind meet, okay? Where did the body and mind meet? The mind is ineffable. You can think of a star 50 light years from here. It's not difficult, right? Your mind goes to that star. But your body is stuck in this room. Okay? So the mind is different from the body. You can set off an atomic bomb in this room right now. Nothing will happen to the mind's dreams here. They won't be affected. Okay? The minds will stay. The spirits will stay, right? The bodies will be incinerated in a few seconds, right? But the interface where body meets mind is the prana. And the chitta, okay? So where the inner winds and the thoughts, why when you drink alcohol does your mind get crazy? Why do you lose your ability to think clearly when you drink alcohol? Because there's an interface. There's a place where mind touches the body, okay? And that's inside your channels, okay? That's important to understand. Because that's why you're doing yoga, okay? We'll get to that. Right? So the first line here, you will understand the earth if you understand the sun. the kind of thoughts that are running in your right-hand channel, in the red channel, in the sun channel, these are thoughts about things. Okay? These are thoughts about things. Basically in the right channel. Thoughts about things are running in the right channel. Okay? And in this scripture they call bhuvana, right? Which means the world. Stuff. Okay? So if you're like upset that someone broke into your car while you were sitting in the new downtown Yoruba Oasis, which happened anyway, that means thoughts are flowing in your right-hand channel. Okay, got it? That means prana is also flowing in your right-hand channel. Okay? Because that's stuff. Okay? Then Chandra Tara Vyuhasnyanam. Tara, star, means in Sanskrit or in yoga literature, star is a code word for states of mind. Okay? Like little bright stars. Like little bright stars, states of mind. Okay, so Tara or Bindu or Tigle, these are all states of mind. Okay? Little points of consciousness. Okay? They are flowing in your left hand channel. Okay? So if you think about yourself, okay, which is a mind or a person, or if you think about another person or their mind, you are focusing on a star and not on the earth. Got it? Because that's a kind of thought. Person is mainly a thought, you see? And to think about yourself. So, feeling upset about someone said something bad about Michael. Okay, Michael is a very sacred word to me, right? They can say something bad about Stefan. I don't really mind, you see, because I don't have that. I have that, but Michael. If they say something about Michael, that's a problem. You know, like that. When you have a upset, when you feel worried about Michael, and you happen to be Michael, then that prana is flowing in the left hand channel. Okay, that prana is flowing in the left hand channel. You can say that all your negative thoughts, okay, are flowing in your right and left channel, whether they are focused on things or people. In the right-hand channel, the earth, meaning stuff. The left-hand channel, the moon channel, thoughts, tara, stars, okay? Thinking about stars. So what flows in the middle channel? What flows in the sushumna? What's it called here, the sushumna? What's it called in this? Yeah, it's called dhruva. Say dhruva.
Dhruva.
Dhru comes from dhur, means to hold, like dharma means that which is held, okay? It came into Celtic. Someone who knows the truth is called dhruvid, meaning a druid, okay, dhruvid. Okay, so dhruva means the pole star, the central axis of the world is called dhruva. Dhruva means your central channel, your sushumna, okay? In that channel flow all the good thoughts, all the thoughts of kindness, wisdom, compassion, love, sympathy, okay? All of those thoughts flow in the middle channel, okay? Then we have a problem. Okay, I need a mala. Anybody got a mala? I don't know. You got a mala? I need two, actually. Whoa! I'll be selling these afterwards. Okay. This is how they teach it in my monastery. This is how my teacher taught me. Gyoshi Tutorinten. Hide me. So here's your right-hand channel, which in this text is called Wake Up. You're not supposed to fall asleep till just before we play the next song. Surya. This is Surya. My right-hand, Geshe Michael's right-hand channel. I'm talking from my point of view, okay? This is Surya. What's this? Chandra, moon. Okay, this is the sun. This is the moon. In here, I'm hot about things. In here, maybe I've thought about hot about people, okay? And this is my, let's pretend this white one is just a single one, okay? That's my what? Dhruva. That's my central axis of the world, the pole star, okay? Now, the bad news is, this one crosses over and turns back, comes back, okay? The Surya, the sun channel, crosses over and comes back. Then, this gets tricky, okay? You need four hands to do this properly. Then the Chandra channel also crosses over and comes back. What happens? It's a knot. Okay, it's a knot. In Sanskrit? Granthi. Okay, granthi. The knot is called granti, meaning a knot. Okay? The channels cross over and come back across the central channel. And that's a knot. Okay? Then water pressure builds up. Okay? Prana is trying to flow. You're trying to have a nice thought. Somebody's saying something bad about Geshe Michael, and you're like, you know, and you're trying to have a nice thought. You're trying to think, oh, you know, it's okay. You can criticize me. I don't really mind. You know, you're trying to have a good thought about it, but there's this knot, you see, and it chokes the sushumna. It chokes the good thought. It chokes the dhruva, right? So then it stops the good thought. What happens? You get angry. Okay, you get angry. All right. So the whole purpose of yoga. And we did this in Phoenix the other night, right? Especially in Niguma's yoga, this famous woman yogi, right? Is if you have a knot and you want to get rid of that knot, first thing you do some twists. Okay? Do some twists. Okay? Matsyendrasana, something. Twist the body and at least loosen them a little bit. Twist the left, twist the right. Loosen the knots. Okay? Got it? Then do something like a Paschimottanasana, which will stretch the channels, which were kinked up. Do a stretch, Paschimottanasana, okay? Then what? Then there's a thing, then you do breath practices to force prana into the central channel. You do like retentions and Uddiyana bandhas, Mula bandhas, all those good bandhas, Jalandhara, and they force prana up and back into the middle so you can have a nice thought. Okay? And then we call Tigler Dimba, which means you do something aerobic to spread the drops of consciousness. These are four steps that every good yoga series should include. And then ideally they should move up the chakras, but that's another night. That's another story. Okay? So we won't go into that now. What is a chakra? What does it mean, the word chakra? It means wheel, okay? Why is... I'll give you a clue here. This is the Sushumna center channel. These side channels, Surya and Chandra, they block this channel, right? Like a hose that got bent. The garden hose is bent, and you turn the water on full, okay? Then pressure will build up here, and then it will spurt out to the sides, okay? It will spurt out. There will be channels... like the spokes of a wheel will spread out to the side. And if you look down the central channel from the top, what will they look like? Yes. They look like spokes of a wheel. If you look down the central channel, in a person who's already messed up, okay, who's got good choking thoughts going on, okay, there will be channels spurting out to the sides. And when you look down from the top, it looks like a wheel. It looks like a wagon wheel. That's called a... chakra. Chakras are nasty things. Chakras are bad things, okay? Chakras are a result of grantis, which are knots, right? Knots are a result of the sun and the moon choking off the dhruva, choking off the central channel, okay? You can't have... Why do you feel high when you get out of yoga class? Because you've done all these twists. You know, you've untwisted the knots, at least for a little bit, okay? At least temporarily, You got a little twist out of it, right? And you got some straightening. Paschimottanasana, Uttanasana, all these tana. Tana means to stretch, right? Like tenuous. Tendon comes from that. So you stretch them, you straighten them, and then you feel high for like a half hour. Then you get in the car at Yoga Oasis Central. You're trying to get out onto Campbell. People are piling up behind you. Trying to back out of the front is a challenge. And then the minute someone cuts you off, okay? After the yoga class, you feel happy, right? And then someone cuts you off and whoop, the twist comes back, okay? And then the kind thoughts are choked again, okay? So the practice of yoga is meant to open the chakras and release the knots, the grantis, okay? And a good yoga series has to be designed carefully. It should have a twist, followed by a straightening motion, followed by a gathering motion, and followed by a distribution motion, and it should move up the chakras of the body. Okay? Because if you release a chakra in the middle and you don't release the chakras on either side of it, it'll just go back faster. You'll get more irritated on Campbell. All right? If you open them in the right order, you get less irritated on Campbell, even though you still get irritated. Okay? All right? So that's Yoga Sutra. Okay? That's from the Yoga Sutra. Now I'm going to go on to a thing called the five she's. Okay? Say pancha.
Pancha.
Kosha.
Kosha.
Pancha.
Pancha.
Kosha.
Kosha.
P goes into Sanskrit, English as F. The A changes to I. The anch changes to ing. And what do you get?
Finger.
Finger. Okay, so pancha,
pancha
came into English as finger, meaning five. Okay, as five. All right. And then kosha is very famous. The Buddhists know Abhidhamma kosha, right? So Relte Shubshin, Zulakshin, in the first chapter of the Abhidhamma kosha, they explain the word kosha. And kosha means a sheath for a sword, okay? Where you put a sword, the sheath that you put a sword in is called a kosha. And sometimes a treasure is called a kosha also. So either the contents of the box or the box itself are called kosha, okay? So pancha kosha is a way of understanding how your body has come into existence, okay? So I got this teaching from some Hindu teachers in Varanasi. And then I heard a lot of yoga people talk about it. So I went looking for it in the Sanskrit text. There's a good presentation in a book called the Shiva Gita. Okay, if you care. There's a book called the Shiva Gita. And there's another book called Shabda Kalpa Druma. Say Shabda
Kalpa
Druma. Kalpa Druma means a wish-giving tree. In Tibetan it's called Paksam Gishing. They don't have a lattice lamp in India, they have a wish-giving tree. Like, you want a new yoga mat. So you approach this tree and you say, yoga mat. And then instead of an apple, a yoga mat pops out off a branch. And you just pick it. And that's called a Kalpa Druma. Okay? Shabda means Sanskrit, the study of sound, right? So Shabda Kalpa Druma is a most famous like encyclopedia of sacred ideas from India. It was written by somebody named Radhakanta Deva. Okay? Radhakanta Deva. And Jason and John's project, they saved this book. And they input it in Varanasi. It took like 5 years. It's thousands and thousands of pages. And they input it in their project, YCIP, in their project to save Sanskrit, ancient yoga books. They found this text and they input it. It's very, very beautiful. So in there, there's a very beautiful explanation of the panchakosha, okay, the five, and only because of them we have it, okay, and it's very beautiful. So I'm going to teach you the panchakosha, okay, so here we go. And that's the first use, John, of the Varanasi, okay? It's very beautiful. It's a great text. It took them 5 years. Okay, so here we are. Here are the five she's. It'll help you do better yoga. It will make your yoga better. Okay. Number one, say Anamaya.
Anamaya.
Kosha.
Kosha.
Anamaya.
Anamaya.
Kosha.
Kosha.
Ana means food. Okay. Ana means food. Maya, this is not, I've heard yoga teachers explain it wrong. Okay. It's not the Maya, which means illusion. That's spelled a different way. Okay. Maya means Rangshin in Tibetan, which means what?
Self.
Or Rangshin. The nature, nature. So anamaya means of the nature of food. Anamaya, and then kosha means the sheath or the, what's the picture I have there? It's an onion, okay? That gives you a nice idea of the sheaths, the five sheaths, okay? You can see sheaths forming around on an onion, okay? That's exactly the idea of kosha. So you know how layers of an onion grow on each other, right? Those are koshas. So your being, your whole being, grows the same way. Your whole being is made of onion layers, okay? And if you can understand it, then you can understand why you're doing yoga, okay? And this is a basic tenet of the Vaishnava scriptures and the Hindu scriptures, okay? There are five layers to your being. And if you understand them, then when you do your yoga, you can change yourself better. Because you understand the interaction between the five onion layers, okay? You notice that if the middle of the onion is not round, okay? I picked an onion that wasn't exactly round. There's something kind of off on the onion in the middle, right? It's kind of shaped like a teardrop or something. Then all the other koshas will also be a little bit off, okay? If the middle one is off, not round, then all the other ones will grow as a reflection of the middle one. You see what I mean? So we're going to work from the outside. Okay, we're working from the outermost layer of the onion is called Anamaya Kosha. Okay, the sheath, which is of the nature of food, and the Shabda Kalpa Dhruma defines it as stula shira. Say stula.
Shira.
Stula means the most gross form. Shira means the body. Okay, so the outer layer of your being, the outside layer of the onion skin, is Anamaya Kosha, means the part of you which came from food, the part of you that was produced by carrots and almond butter and chocolate bars snuck in there. Okay, those are all. The part of your body which is produced by food is called Anamaya Kosha. Okay? The outermost, stula shira, the most gross part of your body, the most physical part, concrete part of your body. Okay? Now we go to the next one. Say Pranamaya
Kosha.
Pranamaya
Kosha.
So prana, you know. Prana means inner winds, okay? The inner energy of the body, prana. Okay? That comes from pra-ana, okay? Pra means forward, like prow. Prow came from that, of a ship. And ana means breathe, to breathe. And animus and anime come from that. Animated come from that. So pra-ana, prana means your breath energy or your vital energy, okay? Prana. So pranamaya kosha means the part of your body which is composed or which has the nature of prana, okay? It means the channels, the inner channels, the inner winds. Where are they flowing? Okay, they're flowing in the moon, they're flowing in the sun if you're upset or you want something really bad. They're flowing in the moon and the sun. By the way, the moon channel is the wanting channel. The left-hand channel is wanting channel. The right-hand channel is I don't like this channel, okay? And the middle channel is I'm free of wanting things in a wrong way or disliking things in a wrong way. It's not wrong to want things. You should want people to be happy. You should want to have a... It's not wrong to want to have a healthy body, a thin body, to want to have good friends, to want people to be... That's not wrong. That's running in the central channel. Okay? But to want things in the way that I want it and I hope other people don't get it, that's running in the sun channel. Okay? Sorry, moon channel. Okay? And then it's not wrong to not like things. You know, I don't like having 5 extra pounds on my belly. I don't like having traffic today. I don't like losing my partner today. You know, like that. That's all fine. That's the central channel. That's Sushumna. Reasonable not wanting is not fine. When you don't want it in a way that you would bomb somebody's country, then that's running in the sun channel. Got it? It's not wrong to want things and not want things if they're nice things. Okay? Okay. So pranamaya kosha, if you stripped off the skin and you stripped off the flesh and you stripped off the bones and there was just those inner channels left, that's the pranamaya kosha. That's your inner body. In Tibetan they call it diamond body, sometimes they call it rainbow body, sometimes they call it magic body, sometimes they call it illusory body, maya kaya, like that. Okay? You notice there's a connection. That's the important thing, okay? As the inner body is, so shall the outer body be. Got it? As the pranamaya kosha goes, so shall the anamaya kosha, okay? As the prana goes, so shall your body go. Because the outermost layer of the onion shall reflect the layer below it. You see? Got it? It's a beautiful system, all right? If the winds are messed up, the body will be messed up. If the body is messed up, it means the winds are messed up. Okay? That's the idea. That's why you teach the kosher system, the 5 koshas. Okay? So we got 2 koshas so far. What lies below the winds? What lies below the winds? What supports the winds? Now we go to the next one, okay? Here we go. Say mano,
maya,
kosha.
Mano maya
kosha. Mano stands for manas, which means mind. Manas came into English as mind, okay, mental. Okay, so it means the kosha of mind. Be careful here. because it doesn't mean mind and gentle. In general, the Shabda Kalpa Dhruma and the Shiva Gita say, this is Karmendriya. These are your sense powers. Okay? These are your sense powers. Your ability to see, your ability to hear, your ability to smell, taste, or feel. In this system are the Manomaya Kosha. Okay? Your sense organs. Your eyes, your ears, your nose. What's it say in the Heart Sutra? Mikme, Naome, Name, Cheme, Lume, Yime. These are the sense organs, okay? And they sprout out from the heart chakra, and that's a long story, okay? But if you have trouble hearing, or if you have eyesight problems, or things like that, you can affect the sense organs, which will affect the prana, which will affect your body, your outer body, okay? You can cure yourself from the inside. Okay, so those are already three layers of the onion, okay? Two more layers to go, right? No, there's four, but they missed two of them. Okay, next one. Say, Vijnana.
Vijnana.
Maya.
Maya.
They're almost ready for a song. I got like six yawns just now. Well, you can hold out till the end of the courses, right? Because we've got to do the back of the page. So don't yawn at me. It really kills me. Most of the Diamond Mountain people were up till 5 last night because that was the last night of our term. And we kind of... Anyway. Say, Vijnana.
Vijnana.
Maya.
Maya.
Kosha.
Kosha.
Vijnana.
Vijnana.
Maya.
Maya.
Kosha.
Kosha.
By the way, those of you who care, it's a dhamka. It's a choice. You can spell it kosha, or you can spell it kosha. Both are legal, okay? So... Vijnana means, this is your mind, okay? It means consciousness. In Tibetan, it's Navarshepa, okay? It means your consciousness. Your awareness of your thoughts. Your awareness of what you see, okay? Right? There's a difference, right? Your eye, your organ, picks up colors and shapes. I'm picking up blue and brown and cream color. But my eye can't say, this is a person. You know, this is hair, this is a blouse, this is a face. My eye can't do that. My mano maya kosha cannot make decisions about what stuff is. I need vijnana maya kosha. It's vijnana maya kosha, okay? I need the mind that interprets stuff, that organizes stuff. Oh, this is a person. This blue, cream, brown, round is a person. And that's a decision made by the Vijnana Maya Kosha. Okay? So that one rests upon my sight. That one rests upon my organs. That one rests upon my prana. And that one rests upon the health of my body. Okay? So these are all like layers of an onion. We're going deeper and deeper and deeper. Last kosha, say Ananda.
Ananda.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced. Say Ananda.
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 Maya.
Maya
Kosha. Ananda.
Ananda.
Maya Kosha.
Maya Kosha.
Ananda Maya Kosha.
Ananda.
It's easier in my heart. I mean, I had trouble learning them. Split it up. It's like, it's always going to be Maya, pause, Kosha, pause. Like in Shiva song, you do that dramatic pause thing. You can say Maya, Kosha. And then whatever comes before you, say that separately. So say Ananda.
Ananda.
Maya.
Maya.
Kosha.
Kosha.
This is the... Ananda means bliss, okay? Ananda means bliss. Alright? How many numbers under Ananda Maya Kosha on your paper?
Two.
Two. There's a reason, okay? Ananda, if you study the Yoga Sutra, you study the first and second chapter, you know what Ananda is. Asmita Ananda. It means bliss, it means joy, it means a state of ecstasy, okay? We say in the yogic tradition, which came into Tibet, right? There's a whole half of Buddhist, half of Tibetan Buddhism came from the yogic tradition of India. So we say that in a state of deep bliss, you understand stuff better, which is why you should have chocolate during yoga. No, just kidding. Manopilashita. In a state of high ecstasy, you can see things which you don't normally see. Like, you know, if you play an inspiring song, you know, if you play a really, really beautiful song, Adagio for Strings by what's his name? What's his name? No. Barber, yeah. Oh my God. Samuel Barber. Adagio. Was it Adagio for strings, right? Play that. Play that. And then you go into this kind of ecstasy, you know? And then you understand your life better. You see? Halfway through the song, you're like having insights into your life. Okay? We, in Buddhism, we say if you can induce a state of ecstatic state of mind, which is partly what kirtan is meant to do, right? If you can induce an ecstatic, or deep prayer, doesn't matter what religion you are, but a deep state of prayer gets you into a kind of ecstasy, and then you can understand stuff better. Okay, that's called anandamaya. Ananda. Ananda. So that's bliss. Last thing, okay? And then maybe we'll play a song. What's at the very center of an onion? Nothing, right? There's a little pocket, right? There's a little pocket. I couldn't quite get it in the picture. It kind of buzzed out. But there's an empty little pocket in the middle of the onion. Okay? And in the Buddhist tradition, we say Ananda is focused on Shunya. Say Shunya.
Shunya.
So Shunya means emptiness, okay? Shunya means emptiness. Emptiness means this, okay? Emptiness means this. It doesn't mean closing your eyes and thinking about nothing. It doesn't mean sitting staring at a wall. It doesn't mean everything is black. And it definitely doesn't mean nothing matters or that being good or being bad doesn't matter, okay? All of those are wrong. It doesn't mean you should sit around and do nothing. Okay? It doesn't mean that. Emptiness means this room is empty. This night is empty. This event is empty. Okay, why? Some people are experiencing this. They are like getting ideas that are going to sustain their yoga practice for decades. You know? Some people in this room are going to make a breakthrough in their yoga practice. You know? If they understand all the ancient wisdom behind their asanas that they've been doing for years, right? Suddenly they see it all in a new light. Oh God, I'm untwisting, you know? I'm opening up the channel. I'm allowing my heart to be kind and compassionate. They will have a breakthrough tonight. Like, some people in this room, I hope, are having some kind of ecstatic breakthrough, okay? And then some people are just bored, you know? Some people are saying, when's this guy going to stop talking all these foreign words and, you know, are they serving refreshments or not? And it's kind of hot in here, and I don't know why I came to this thing anyway. I'm glad it was free. And, you know, oh, I forgot to tell you about that. Anyway, so we say this experience or this event is empty. Why? It's not good and it's not bad. See, somebody's already leaving. The event is not good, and the event is not bad. Okay, the event is neutral, or blank, or empty. You can think blank. Think blank, okay? The event is blank. And then some people will experience the event as something useful. And some people will think this is nothing useful here at all. You know, this is just some gibberish about koshas, you know? That's the emptiness of the event. Okay? Are people empty? If they weren't empty, everybody would like some people and everybody would hate some people. Okay? But everybody, mostly, has somebody who likes them and everybody has somebody who doesn't like them. Most of us. Almost everybody, right? That's the emptiness of people. What about yoga? What about headstand? What about my most hated enemy, Dunner, what is it? Urva Dunner. It's like a curse word to me, Urva Dunner. Okay, so this thing is empty. Okay, some people like Urva Dunner. I think there must be somebody. Probably Darren likes it. And then other people don't like it. So we say that asana is what?
Empty.
Shunya, empty. Okay? That's the empty pocket at the middle of the onion. That's the empty pocket at the middle of onion. All things form around that. All things form around that truth. That nothing is how it is by itself. Okay? Nothing is as it is by itself. The way you experience something is coming from you. And that gives you the power to have any experience you want. Okay? To know about that, you have to stay after the music. Okay? So we're going to play one more song to wake you up. And then we're going to go into Kala Chakra. What do you do with these koshas, right? I think that's important, you know? If somebody gets up in a yoga studio and talks about the five koshas, you should say, well, what the hell is it going to do for me? You know, why are you telling me about the five koshas? What's it going to do for me? Okay? So we'll tell you after we do a song, okay? Then we'll talk about how's this five kosha thing going to help you. Right? Here we go. We'll do a little song. You got the other song, you guys? You got the other? Yeah, there we go.
I think not. I think it'd be too crazy to get them back. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a song that we stole from Krishna Das. And it's the words are up there, okay? Everybody miss-sings this song. Everybody ever heard miss-sing this song. Jai means, you know, victory or jita, right? Victory. Jagat with a T means living beings. And then Amba means mother, okay? So when Jagat means Ambe, it has to change to D. That's a Sanskrit rule. So it's Jagadambe. And I always hear people say Jagajambe. And it took me a long time to figure out what they were saying. Okay, so Jagadambe. Ma, hey just means hey, okay? It's the only word that means the same. Ma means mother. Durga means... Dur means hard, okay? Like dukkha comes from that, hard. Ga means to come or to go. Durga means the lady who's hard to go to. Okay? She's hard, it's hard to reach her. Durga. Hard to get to. Okay? Durga. Mahakali means the angel of tough love. Okay? Big tough love. Kali means tough love. And Durga is another name of her. Okay? So she represents the need to have tough love sometimes. When you know, like I have a friend who has an addiction problem. She has, what do you call it? Crystal meth problem, right? And so it's been a long time. It's been 10, 20 years, right? So finally all her friends got together and we made a deal. We would not talk to her. We would pretend she was not in the room. You know? And we gave her tough love. You know? We said, we're not going to even acknowledge your existence in the room. And so she would come over and, you know, there'd be five people in the room and we'd just ignore her. We'd say, did you do meth today? She'd say, yeah. And then we would ignore her for the whole night. And she stopped. You see? Fine, she stopped. She's been off for about 6 or 7 months now. Because we ignored her. And we gave her Kali. We gave her tough love. So sometimes you have to, right? So this is a song about tough love. We're doing a fundraiser tonight. I'm not asking you for money. If you want to give, it's okay. If you don't, I don't care. But we're building our Kali temple at our university because we're about to do a three-year retreat. Like 50 people are about to do a three-year silent retreat. And we wanted to have Tough Love Lady there. We actually got a beautiful statue carved in India. It's already here. It's very beautiful in a ferocious way. And we need a little money to... We're making our own adobe bricks, and we've made about 1,000 bricks. Using garbage newspaper as the binding agent. So we've used up all the garbage newspaper in Wilcox. Really. We've matched the production of the newspaper company so far. I mean, during the production of the bricks, we used up all the... There was no newspaper going to the landfill. And we got the special adobe approved by the county. And the whole Kali shrine is made of this adobe. And so the students are making their own bricks, and it's very beautiful. So if you'd like to help with it, I don't know, who's collecting that money? Anybody? No.
Yeah, there are bowls outside. There's one right
okay,
right
there. There's a bowl outside. So when you leave, if you want to throw a couple bucks in the bowl, it costs us about $3 to make a brick. We need like 800 more bricks, something like that. I don't know, you figure it out. And I guess it needs a roof also. But that's about all. And Kevin is building it here. And he's a licensed contractor, and the foundation's done. We just need a little bit more for the roof, I guess. Okay, so if you would, it would be cool. So we're going to sing a song to Kali. You ready? Here we go. You ready? This is call and response, okay? So that means I say something and then you say something. But as fast as I do. And Mira and Jared are going to lead you in the response. So they're over there. They're going to yell especially loud on the response. And they're going to lead you on the response. Okay? Here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, just a bit more, and then we'll stop. Okay. We didn't get to the Kala Chakra part. Okay, Kala Chakra. I thought you'd like to know what Kala Chakra means, especially those of you who are Buddhists. You might not know what it means. It's on the back of your sheet. Kala means time, right? In the Hindu scriptures, in the yogic scriptures, Kala means what? Death. Because what? Because time kills you automatically. The passage of time kills you, right? So Kala means time. What's Kala Danda? What's Dandasana? Yeah, it's a staff, meaning a stick or a plank, right? Danda means a stick. So Kala Danda means to take a club to death. To club death to death. To beat death to death is Kala Danda. Brahmande vicharantante. Kala Danda. In the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. They wander the earth. They wander the earth having beaten death with Hatha Yoga. Okay? Hatha Yoga Prabhavita. Empowered by their practice of yoga. Kala Danda. Brahmande vicharantante. They wander the egg of Brahma, which is the planet Earth. Okay? What's he talking about? He's talking about yogas who have achieved the goal, okay, of Kala Danda. They have killed death, okay, like Goraksha, okay, who lived, I don't know, 1,200 years ago, okay. Goraksha used yoga. He's in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. He's in the Hindu lineage and he's in the Buddhist lineage. He's shared, okay. The cow protector is called Bakyong in Tibetan. Goraksha. The protector of the cattle, okay? Bakyong in Tibetan, okay? So he, Kala Danda, he beat death, okay? He overcame death. Why? The choking effect on your channels, this effect on your channels, it kills you. Eventually it kills you. If you don't release those knots in this life, you will die. Your body will age, and your body will die a normal death. If you don't release the knots, and in this tradition, through the practice of physical asanas, then you must die. You must get old and die. If you walk around with your granthis intact, with your knots intact, you will die. You must die. Every time a good thought is choked off by a bad thought, you get a little older. Okay? If you don't release these knots in this life, if you don't use yoga, you age and you die. That's why they say, you know, like if you see Dharma Mitra teach, Sri Dharma Mitra, he will say, oh, you know, do your shoulder stands, do your headstands, you won't get old. You know, he's like, I don't know what, 70? He's still doing headstands without arms? Okay, like that's kind of, he's got some opening of the channels, right? And he's overcoming death. So Kala Chakra refers to the process of defeating death, okay, itself. The wheel of time. Is the process of defeating death itself. And there are two things here. Mahakala, say Mahakala. And Mahachakra.
Mahachakra.
The big Kala and the big Chakra. Okay? The big Kala and the big Chakra. Mahakala traditionally refers to the number of breaths you take in a day, which is 21,600 breaths. Okay? You can count it sometime. If you're doing a three-year retreat, these are the kind of things you can do. Okay. Okay. It's a Mahakala. You can count your breaths for a day, and it's 21,600 breaths. By tradition, they say that's the number of breaths that a person takes in a day. Mahachakra means the cycle of those breaths. So there are 12 great cycles of the breath. I think it's 980 breaths per cycle. Okay, but you cycle through a certain number of breaths in a day. And those cycles are actually, every 980 breaths, 12 times a day, every 2 hours, the winds by nature shift to the other side. Okay? So if you were mostly having sun channel thoughts for 2 hours, then they will shift to the other side. There's a natural shift called the wheel, the cycle, the natural cycle of a person called Mahachakra. So these are the 12 natural cycles
of the shift of prana from your left-hand channel to your right-hand channel, meaning we rotate between irritation and desire. Okay, naturally, every 2 hours, you know? I went and got a... On the way here, we stopped. We were late. I said, we got to stop. Look, there's a Starbucks drive-in, you know? And so they know they have to stop the car, you know? They don't even ask. So Ningbo does 3, like, illegal U-turns on the Campbell, and we get to the... That's the desire side, right? So I get my hot chocolate, right? Then 2 hours later, I'm feeling nervous, anxiety, unhappy, you know, I just drank some cow's milk. Some poor beast was abused for years so I could get my hot chocolate. And then I go into an anger mode or an irritated mode. So we naturally, human beings naturally cycle. That's chakra. That's the mah chakra. Between these, in the 21,600 breaths you take, you are cycling between irritation and desire. Okay? Kala chakra means to break the cycle. Kala chakra means to break the cycle. Okay? Break the cycle of irritation and desire. How? Do your asanas. Do regular asanas that are taught in a good way, proper way. And they will release your knots, and then you will be released from the kala chakra. The wheel of death, really. Okay? You will be released from that. By your practice of asanas, if you understand what's going on, if you know how to do asana, if someone trains you about your inner body while you're doing asana, then you will be freed from breath itself. When the two side channels, eventually when they get untied altogether, when they're totally straight, you stop breathing. Okay? Like when you were in a very nice state like of contentment, you were sitting with your high school boyfriend or girlfriend, and you got through making out and everything. And then you were sitting in the front seat feeling really contented, right? Like, you're just hugging them and you're looking at the moon, right? Some kind of affection going on. And then your breath slows down, right? And sometimes it almost stops, right? When you're really, really happy and really, really contented, it means your channels are straight and the knots have loosened, okay? And there comes a time in the progression of a human being, in the evolution of a human being, when the channels themselves, the two side channels, sun and moon, disappear completely, and they are dissolved into the central channel, then your body turns into light. Okay? Your body turns into light. You can say you become an angel at that point. Okay? That's all those angels they report in the scriptures of every, you know, Islamic angels, Christian angels, Buddhist angels, Hindu angels, they're all for real. Those are for real people who did their yoga at Yoga Oasis downtown and got their channels straightened out. And then you color chakra, you overcome the okay? One last thing, okay? One last thing. I'm going to go back to the onion. All right? Color chakra system adds another kosha. They add a sixth kosha, okay? On top of the anamaya, in front of the anamaya kosha, they add another kosha. Okay, this is kala chakra. This is specifically kala chakra. Okay, they say something beautiful. They say, if you get your thoughts together, if you become a really kind person, right? If you become a person who cares for other people, just pay attention to other people. Put a yoga studio in the middle of a bunch of suffering people. Like Darren did it, right? The people at Yoga Oasis did it. You know, if you have some kind of a kind thought, you know, those people are not happy. I won't put my next studio in the middle of some wealthy area out in North Tucson. I'll put it in the middle of town and I won't charge anything, you know? And that thought is Manomaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha. These are thoughts which then change your prana. Okay? Pure thoughts in the middle change the prana. That changes the next layer, Anamaya Kosha. That affects your body. Okay? Thoughts of kindness make your channel straight, make your prana flow smoothly, affect your physical body. You become younger, you shine. I mean, people who really do yoga well, they don't have to be big, you know, muscular yogis. in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, it says, if you do your yoga regularly, you will shine. You will have a shine about you. You know, you see it. People who do, they're not like, you know, superhero yogis. They're just people who have a regular daily practice. And a modest, gentle, they shine. They have an aura about them. That's the anamaya kosha, is reflecting the purity of their heart. Okay? Now, last thing, okay? Kala chakras. Oh, by the way, that's the last three things I put there, okay? Antarloka. Antarloka means your inner body. All those koshas. The five koshas are antarloka. Antar means inside, okay? Antar. Loka means world, right? It comes from roch, which means to shine. And L, R changes to L, cha changes to ka, and it becomes loka, okay? Like lucid, okay? Antarloka, the inner five koshas change. Now the Kala Chakra takes it one more step. They say, if your prana flows well because you're doing your yoga well, your asanas, you will take a shine on your body, and then the next layer out will change. What's the next layer out? Your world. Your physical world. Tucson. The last kosha is Tucson. Okay? Got it? It's so beautiful. You change your heart. It changes the prana. You change the prana, you change the anamaya kosha. You change the anamaya kosha, says the Kala Chakra. You change Tucson. Because Tucson is coming from your channels. Tucson is coming from your channels in the same way that your body is coming from your channels. Your physical body is being produced by your inner channels. And those inner channels are also producing your outer world. Your city is a reflection of your channels, right? So it would be natural if a bunch of yogis were doing well in their asana, they would take an interest in the inner city and they would try to change it. They would think to change it, you see? Because that's an extension of their own body. That's an extension of their own channels. It's so beautiful, right? Your mind becomes pure. Your channels become pure. Your body becomes pure. You want to change Tucson. You want to make Tucson pure. Because that's the next layer out of your body, okay? That's the next layer out of your body. Last thing. People who know me, they know there's many last things. Okay, last thing. So that's that's Bahya Loka, okay? Bahya Loka is your outer world. Tucson. You can just write Tucson, okay? Antarloka is your channels, your heart, and your body, right? Your five koshas. Bahya Loka means Tucson. The city you live in, right? So how do you change your city? How do you change Tucson from some crime-ridden, you know, drug lords, police, lousy police, you know, kind of down? How do you change it? How do you change it? In this system. In this system. How do you change the shape of the outside of the onion? Change the shape of the inside because the outside layers grow on it, you see? They will take whatever shape the inside... You see, if the inside is perfectly spherical, the world, the outside layer will be spherical. If the inside layer is some kind of deformed, the outside layer will be deformed. Fix your heart, which fixes your prana, which fixes your body, which is reflected in your world. If you want to change Tucson, meditate. Pray for other people. Serve the sick. Serve the lonely. You see? Do things for other people. Then the outer layer naturally takes that shape of your kindness. And you live in a better... Your city changes, okay? Your city changes. And your country changes. And your globe changes. It's very beautiful. Last thing. What's the last thing on your paper? Paraloka. Para means the other world. Paraloka means the other world, okay? Because the worlds are piling up around your heart, because your life and your worlds are piling up around the condition of your heart, if you change your heart in a radical way, you will reach Paraloka. Paraloka means the other world. What's the other world? It's where you walk out on a street in Tucson and everyone is angelic. Every person you meet is angelic, okay? Every person you run into, you're like, my God, You know, there's an angel in Tucson. Then you meet the next person, and they're also an angel. And then you meet the next person. You walk down the street, you know, Congress, whatever it is. And you're just bumping. You're like, you said one angel is okay. And then you, the second person you meet, my God, they're also an angel. You know, they come up to you and they say, you know that high school boyfriend you had back in 1968? You know, John. And you're like, how do you know about John? And they say, well, he was an angel and I was sent by him. You know, I'm also sent from the same people. You know, and then you're like, wow, that's cool, you know. And then you meet another one and another one and another one. So Paraloka means if your asana becomes pure, if your prana becomes pure, it changes the outer world, which changes the world that goes beyond that, which is the divine realm. You reach a divine realm. And that's the end of yoga. That's the purpose of yoga. That's why you're coming here and grunting through the asanas. Really. Okay, that's why you should come here. Because in time, it changes the paraloka. It changes Tucson, not into like a good city. It changes it into a divine world. We call mandala, right? In Buddhism, we call it, it changes Tucson. Mandala, Tucson will become a mandala if enough people come here and do yoga. Tucson can become a deathless mandala of angels if enough people come here and do yoga. Yeah? Okay, that's all.